alongside that noble strand of thought, there's something rather less noble that was abroad in the land, not in our part of London, not on the whole in London at all, but certainly very strong in other parts of the kingdom, and that was a deep-seated grievance against them, against those who come here and who take our jobs and whose children occupy places in our schools so that our children don't get to go where we want them to go. And there were politicians, as there always are, who were quite expertly able to play upon that grievance and indeed to encourage us to imagine greater future grievances when all those Turks came streaming into the land. That's really dangerous. And we have to be on our guard against it. We have to be on our guard against it, and we have to do everything we can to discourage, to argue against, to try to move people on from being locked up in resentment and in grievance, because there no good thing can ever lie. And at the same time as we need a kind of national discipline about not feeling grievance, we need to be very attentive to grievances or grudges that we carry inside ourselves. I've already mentioned Cain and Abel. It always strikes me, reading Genesis, that Cain seems to have a point. Why does the Lord accept Abel's offering and not Cain's? Seems to be a hint that God is some kind of vegan or vegetarian. He doesn't want the lamb. It's the other way around. He wants the lamb that Abel brings. He doesn't bring the... God's a carnivore, and it's the other way around. It's incomprehensible why God chooses the one and rejects the other. Whatever the reason, it is Cain's nursing of his grievance, allowing it to grow inside him, to let it control him and to master him, that leads to his fratricidal assault upon his brother. The biblical antitype to Cain is Job. Job has every reason to be very angry with God. Job has done everything right, and yet God sends Job disease, loss of all his goods, loss of his beloved family. God takes everything away from Job. And Job spends a large part of that large book protesting against God, wrestling with him, arguing with him, expressing and articulating a sense of grievance, which I think to the modern reader would seem to be perfectly justified. The resolution of the book, the moment that Job is able to move on, is when he lets go of that grievance in the face of the Lord's speech from the whirlwind. Job finally throws up his hands in surrender, or in the biblical gesture, puts his hand upon his mouth. It may not be a justified surrender, because it's not at all clear that God's got the better of the moral argument, but nevertheless, it is God's internal surrender. He will not let the grievance hold him. He will not bear a grudge against God, and that's the moment when the book is free to move on to a resolution and Job is able to move into a new kind of a life. So it'll be a good Lenten discipline to guard against grievance, to guard against grievance in our hearts, and to guard against grievance in the life of the nation. I can see some very dangerous times ahead. Supposing that Brexit does not go ahead as planned, or does not go ahead at all, the people who will most feel that grievance are the people who are most prone to have voted for it out of a sense of grievance, and then you will have Brexit squared. And if that grievance squared, is felt by somebody who already nurses a deep grievance at the fact that men don't run the world they used to do, then you get grievance cubed, and you've got another Joe Cox on the conscience of our nation. These are dangerous times, and we need to be very careful, and we need to be very disciplined, and we need to pray that God will cast out from our own heart first any tendency that we have to nurse a wrong or to bear a grudge. And that would be a good and a proper way to honour the memory of those who lost their lives in Christchurch on Friday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.